Today on Maine Calling, lakes, farms, forests, and more, all affected by this summer's drought. It sure felt nice to get some rain over the weekend, even if it got in the way of outdoor plans. But was that rain enough to make a dent in the drought conditions most of the state is experiencing? If not, how much more rain do we need? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with experts around the state who are evaluating the impact of the drought, from wildfire danger to the impact on private wells. September is harvest season for apples, corns, potatoes, blueberries, and other crops. What are farmers seeing in their fields? Many lakes and ponds are low. How does this affect their ecosystem? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It is not just your yard that's brown and crispy right now. This year's drought means dry lawns, wells, farmland, and forests, low lakes, and wildfire risk. We're going to talk with experts on what this all means for Maine residents and what it might take for this drought to end. My guest for the hour, Nick Stasulis, who is Chief Monitoring Operations for the New England Water Science Center with the U.S. Geological Survey. Sarah Jamison is a federal hydrologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration at the National Weather Service in Gray. And Tom Gordon is Program Coordinator for Soil and Water Conservation with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. We invite you to join the conversation. How is the drought affecting you? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Sarah, I'm going to start with you. We did get rain over the weekend. How much rain did Maine get, and how beneficial was it?
Well, it was certainly beneficial. It was very welcome news. It was a good soaking rain that affected everyone across the state. When we think back to all the rainy Saturdays we had over the spring and we were all lamenting one Saturday after another, I think everyone was rejoicing to finally have a rainy Saturday. Most of the area received somewhere around a quarter of an inch up to over an inch and a half down here in southern Maine. But unfortunately, it was not enough. We are a far cry from the rainfall deficits that we've been seeing over the summer, which in some parts of the state far exceed 6 to upwards of 10 inches.
6 to 10 inches. I knew that August was on track to hit a top 10 list. Did it make it?
Yes, for much of the state, we only received, in some locations, under an inch of rainfall for the entirety of the month. So we received 25% of what we would normally see, which was a far cry from what we really need, especially for agricultural purposes, which Tom is going to be touching upon here shortly. We had temperatures that were pretty warm there, so we evaporated a lot of that moisture, and our soils really dried up quickly. So if you take into account the fact that we were evaporating a lot and not raining very much at all, that was a pretty big net loss for the area.
All right. Well, before we ask Tom about agriculture, I'm going to go to you, Nick. And I should mention that all three of you are members of the state's drought task force. Nick, I understand you met last week. Give us a big picture summary. What were you talking about? What are the big concerns?
Sure. Yeah. Well, many listeners probably have their own kind of a bellwether for or standard for when things are dry. Maybe that's, you know, a crunchy yard or a low lake level. There are tools that we're monitoring. Yeah, folks in the state are monitoring regularly, the U.S. Drought Monitor being that tool. And our state's drought task force has criteria for once a drought gets bad enough that we convene this group of experts from local, state, federal entities who kind of discuss drought and impacts around the state. So the big topics we had, certainly agriculture is a big one. Forest fires are definitely a concern. There are low water levels, lakes, reservoirs. We are seeing some areas with low groundwater too, drinking water supplies. You know, and looking kind of backward from last year's drought, if you remember last fall, we had a drought in the state of Maine and kind of how we've recovered from that drought. And then also looking forward to, you know, future weather forecasts, long-term forecasts, and how this drought might continue and impact folks in Maine.
Nick, did we recover from last year's drought? I mean, it was not the snowiest winter.
Yeah, if we look at some of the general standards, conditions that we're monitoring, stream flow, groundwater, they did mostly recover throughout the state. Certainly stream flows did. There were some areas where groundwater levels recovered, but maybe not as much as we would have liked to see as we came into the spring. But I guess as far as last year's drought goes, we would consider that it mostly was gone by the time we got into this summertime.
Yep. And was last year as severe as this year is so far, Nick?
I think it depends on what part of the drought you're looking at. You know, certainly groundwater and stream flow levels were lower last year than they are now currently. Last year's drought occurred later in the season too, so we didn't have a lot of the agricultural impacts that we're maybe seeing now because it occurred in the fall when the growing season was over. So I think it would depend on what sector you're looking at as far as whether this drought was worse than last year. Yeah.
All right, Tom Gordon, I'm sure you're hearing from farmers all over the state. How bad is it?
Having a drought in July and August is definitely bad for agriculture. That's the prime season. Crops generally need about an inch of water per week as a rule of thumb. And many areas only receive 1 or 2 inches for the entire month of August. So that's a pretty significant deficit. And it has affected many of our crops. Only about 10% of Maine's cropland is irrigated. So if in the areas that aren't irrigated, there were some significant impacts. Hayland has been impacted. The second cut of hay was very limited, and that's going to affect the availability of livestock feed for this winter and increase cost to livestock farmers. Most of our unirrigated crops are going to see some impact in terms of the yield. And some crops ended a little early. Sweet corn, wild blueberries, many vegetables had shortened seasons and limited availability for those farms that don't have irrigation.
Yeah, I noticed at the farmer's market this weekend, the corn seems smaller. Is that one of the impacts that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, definitely. It will affect the size of the ears. The water is necessary for nutrient uptake, and if you don't have water, it's very hard to grow a healthy crop. And farmers do the best they can without irrigation. And, you know, once that crop is no longer producing, then that's all they have available. So that's just the way it is with Mother Nature.
Well, let's talk about two of Maine's most famous crops, and I know it's harvest season for both right now. Blueberries. What are we hearing from blueberry growers?
Well, blueberries got hit early in the season, both blueberries and strawberries, from too much moisture. That causes a delay in pollination and can affect the early growth of those berry crops. So that impacted the start of the season. And then the blueberry fields definitely dried out significantly in August, and that limited the size and quality of some of those wild blueberries. Potatoes have done fairly well. Aroostook County was not hit as hard by the drought, so a good part of the summer season was pretty good up there, unlike some past droughts we've had. But farmers have been actively using their irrigation ponds and trying to keep water flowing to the potatoes. It's particularly important late in the season to for enough water to bulk up the size of the potato. That can benefit the quality, and also it affects the farmer's bottom line because they are paid based on hundredweight of potatoes harvested. So they like to see water late in the season, but then dry out when the harvest actually begins.
And what about apples?
Apples seem to be doing fairly well, as you may have heard on the local news at the top of the hour. It seems like they've done pretty well this year. Apple trees tend to be somewhat drought resistant in the short term, but the lack of water can impact the overall health of the tree for future years. So some of these things may not be immediately available in obvious in the current harvest, but may impact the health of the trees for future years. So,
and Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt. I understand there is now some aid for farmers that there was not before. Tell me about the Farmers Drought Relief Fund. How large is it? How does one qualify? It's new, right?
Yes. The legislature adopted or passed the Farmer Drought Relief Fund a couple of years ago and has given an appropriation of $1 million non-lapsing fund and a $300,000 annual appropriation. And that's primarily to fund installation of new water sources, drilled wells and water storage ponds primarily. We're also doing some work on agricultural water management plans for farms that really don't know what they need. And hopefully this will position them for applying for grants in the future. So we're very excited about this program. In August, awarded grants to 24 farms. We've got 4 water storage ponds going in, 10 drilled wells. And I just learned this morning that the first well up in Aroostook County is up and running and refilling an existing pond for a potato farm. So we're excited about that. And we're providing 10 water management plans through local soil and water conservation districts to help farmers get ahead of this issue. We will have probably another $900,000 to $1 million to spend. And we expect this winter to be advertising for a second round of grant applications. And we hope to get a lot of applications and get all of that money out, because this is really an important part of Maine's climate action plan. Resilience of agriculture and forestry is critical with the increasing temperatures and severe storms. So we're very excited about our potential to help.
Well, thanks, Tom. And speaking of forestry, we have with us now Terry Teller, who is a forest fire prevention specialist at the Maine Forest Service. And Terry, boy, a lot of people are concerned about fire danger. Can you characterize how dangerous it is right now?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. We're certainly grateful to see the rain over the weekend. And this morning, as of 9 o'clock, the fire danger throughout Maine is low for today, second day in a row. But we anticipate that will, you know, slowly go back up as we have the continued dry conditions. August was actually the biggest the busiest August we've seen in over 20 years for wildfires. We ended up with 250 fires burning about 114 acres throughout Maine. So it definitely kept Maine forest rangers busy, as well as our municipal firefighters and other call when needed firefighters that help with those wildfires throughout the state.
You know, Terry, I think a lot of people who live in Maine feel a little bit like, well, I live in Maine. I don't live out west. We don't have the kind of forest fire danger that places like California and Colorado have. And I'm guessing that you don't really like it when people think that way.
Yeah, for sure. It is different out here. But as we saw in August, the conditions were that prolonged drying. Really, it makes a lot of the vegetative fuel, so downed branches and the duff layer, sometimes logging slash in the woods, it really gets dried out and becomes available to burn. And normally we don't see that as often, certainly in August. So things like lightning strikes or improperly extinguished fire campfires have a chance to burn into that duff layer, and they may persist for a few days without anyone noticing. And we haven't had as regular rainfall So sometimes those can build up and then cause the fires that we see over time.
And people who are older will know this, but maybe people who are younger will not. Maine has had some very serious wildfires in the past, thinking about the Great Fires of 1947.
Yeah, for sure. We have had those more active years. 1995 was another busy year. So when the extended dry periods build up over time and then you have ignition source, you know, the dry conditions alone don't start the fires. There have to be something that causes them that heat and that spark in the woods to catch hold. And we really pay attention to the daily weather forecast, especially things like wind and relative humidity. And those are what factors into the daily fire danger. Because when the air gets even drier and the winds can dry out the vegetation and then push fire, if we have them, makes things more difficult to control.
So it's not really as much about heat. If you're looking at the forecast and saying, oh, it's going to be in the 60s this week, it's not going to be high fire danger. It's not really about the heat, but about the wind and some other conditions.
Yeah, I mean, we pay attention to temperature. That daily fire danger really looks at temperature, relative humidity, the winds, and then the condition of those vegetative fuels. Everything from down leaf litter, pine needles, up towards twigs and branches, and then heavier pieces of wood that are on the ground. And as all of those things start to dry out, then there's more potential for wildfire to happen.
Terry, thank you so much for calling in. Terry Teller is a forest fire prevention specialist with the Maine Forest Service. Nick, I'm going to go back to you. One thing we haven't mentioned yet is people's private wells. A lot of people here in Maine use well water. How are those doing?
Yeah, sure. Certainly, it's variable throughout the state, depending what type of aquifer you're in and the construction of your well, how deep it might be, and some specifics. But generally, I looked at our state's dry well survey, which is available through the Drought Task Force's webpage. Only 27 dry wells have been reported at this point in 2025. I don't know that. My guess is there's probably more, and this people just aren't aware that they can report them. You know, hopefully now hearing this, if folks are experiencing dry well conditions, they would report them, so we can use that information for kind of rolling up the significance of the drought. But we haven't seen huge impacts to private or even public water supplies. As a reference, there was a pretty severe drought in the early 2000s in Maine, you know, 99 to 2002. 17,000 private wells went dry during that drought.
Wow.
So certainly our state has done a good job becoming more resilient to drought, you know, drilling new wells, drilling them deeper. Same for agricultural. I know the agricultural impacts were way worse back then. We're kind of learning our lesson and preparing ourselves to kind of get through these periods of drought. And we're seeing that benefit now with the private well supply in Maine for sure.
So, Sarah, what is it going to take to get us out of this drought, and how? Like, is one big, really great rainstorm going to do it, or will everything, you know, is the ground so dry that will run off? What do you want to see for fall and for winter?
Well, no single rain event can overcome the large-scale hydrologic system to overcome a drought of this magnitude. At least we do not want to see a large hydrologic event of that magnitude. It would have to be some kind of like an Irene event, and we do not want anything of that magnitude. Because our deficits, like I was saying earlier, are 6+ inches. What we want to see is some kind of repeat type of soaking rain event, drawn out, multiple events, where we can get slow rain events over time. That's what we need to do. We need to let it soak into the groundwater so we can replenish our groundwater, replenish the soil moisture. But it's going to take time. And looking ahead in the near term and even into the long term, we aren't seeing that. The outlooks are not favoring any kind of significant precipitation events, or actually really any precipitation events. The 7-day forecast is not showing any appreciable rain. And looking even further out, the outlooks really aren't wet. We're looking at a really dry pattern. Things are kind of looking like it did last fall, and that was actually really kind of warm and dry. So the best recommendation we have is, you know, we continue to do our conservation practices.
Well, we do need to take a break. I will ask you when we come back what individuals can do. We're also going to hear from Susan Gallo at Maine Lakes. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about the drought. There are serious drought conditions across the state. We're going to talk about what it means right now and in the future. Joining me, Sarah Jamison, who is a hydrologist with NOAA and the National Weather Service in Gray. Tom Gordon coordinates the Soil and Water Conservation Program with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. And Nick Stasulis is Monitoring Operations Chief for the New England Water Science Center with USGS. We invite you to join the conversation. What are you seeing in your community? What do you want to know about managing the conditions? You can send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Susan Gallo, who is Executive Director for Maine Lakes. Thanks so much for calling in, Susan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So a few weeks ago, I was on vacation on a pond in Maine, and the conditions were noticeable. The water was lower than usual. How low are lakes and ponds around the state?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of our lakes and ponds, even the ones that sort of look natural, a lot of them have dams, small dams that kind of hold the water level. So we may see a delay in actual drops. There's definitely low water levels, and they may get worse as the season progresses, as those water, you know, those control, those dams can no longer keep those artificial water levels up. So I'm not sure, but we definitely know, you know, lower water levels means the water gets warmer, means there's less dissolved oxygen, and so it's definitely not a good, we're used to lakes getting a little warmer in the summer, but, getting them too warm too quickly is definitely not healthy.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about the impact of this summer, the drought, and the temperature on the ecosystem. What kind of short-term and long-term impacts will there be?
Well, that's a good question. I think the sort of biggest concern for Maine Lakes and our volunteers and people we work with is looking at the vegetation around the shorelines, because I'm sure, you know, for anyone who's listening and has a garden, you know you've had to water a lot. Like plants in my like sort of perennial garden that I never water have, you know, I look at them and they're like, oh my gosh, they're lying flat on the ground. So we know our gardens have had to have more care this summer and definitely a lot more water. So when plants, shoreline vegetation around the shoreline dries up and gets crispy, which is what's happening, you know, those plants generally, we call them a buffer, a vegetative buffer, and it captures sediment, it captures soil, it absorbs water. So our biggest concern is that when the rain does come back, and as Sarah mentioned, you know, hopefully not in a big rain event, because that would be disastrous for lakes. But even when it comes back, we are worried about if those buffers aren't able to do their job of absorbing water and stopping sediment, that we're going to get big flushes of phosphorus in the water. And that happens anytime sediment, sand, soil goes into the water. So, you know, larger flushes of phosphorus in the water now or this fall when the rain does come back is definitely a concern. That phosphorus feeds algae blooms, and, you know, the occurrence of those are growing in Maine, the number of lakes and the size of those algal blooms is growing. So that's a big concern for us long term from the drought.
Well, Susan, I really appreciate you calling in. Susan Gallo with Maine Lakes. Sarah, I'm going to turn back to you. You mentioned conservation efforts. What can we all do? What can people do right now to respond effectively to the conditions?
I think the biggest thing is to turn to your local officials and the state officials and what kind of recommendations that they're putting out. Because I think that looking ahead, like I said, we're not really seeing any relief in sight. So what can we do to prepare for this? You know, what are we facing? Is it practical at this point to continue watering your lawn? You know, at what point do we have to recognize what's a good mitigation effect? You know, we're also coming to the end of the growing season in some respects. So what kind of mitigation efforts are appropriate for the time of season? It depends on what kind of sector you're in. You know, what effects that's going to be. Tom probably has some recommendations based on the agricultural sector. You know, again, reach out to whatever authorities for your various sectors. So that's who I would recommend.
Tom, what would you like to add to that?
Well, in general, for a residential use, it's important to conserve water until the drought is over. For both residential and agricultural uses, check the plumbing for leaks. You know, a running toilet can use up to 300 gallons per day, even without flushing, if it's just a very slow leak. Piping around a farm, oftentimes the faucets and fixtures aren't tight, and those need to be tightened up. Long-term, you need to plan ahead. The time to plan for a drought is before it happens. So I encourage farmers to adopt soil health measures. More composting will add moisture-holding capacity to the soil. Drought-resistant strains of seeds can be helpful. And we're going to have to plan for this much more in the future. So it's a challenge. And for some folks who are using their residential wells to water crops, they're hauling water from their residential wells to try to water their fields. And that's extremely difficult to do. In the case of folks with dug wells, sometimes you can get water trucked in. You can buy water from a company that fills swimming pools or whatever. But it's really important not to dump that water down into a dug well, because you're trying to replenish a groundwater table that covers many acres. And a 2,000-gallon load of water trucked in will simply not make any difference in your groundwater level. So if you have an above-ground storage tank, that's great. You can use that. But don't waste that precious water on trying to put it back into the ground.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Joining us on the line now is Ivan Fernandez, who is Professor Emeritus and Climate Research Scientist with the University of Maine and with the Maine Climate Council. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Ivan.
Sure, Jennifer. Great to be here. Important topic and great panel.
I know you have deep knowledge, but you are a soil scientist at heart. Tell me what this drought has meant for Maine's soil.
Well, I think Tom has already touched on some of the impacts. When we think about drought, you know, there's three different kinds of drought: meteorological, agricultural, and hydrological. And I think a lot of people identify with the agricultural, which is particularly dry soils, which we see all around us. We see in our front yard, but dry soils also affect everything from the drought itself to water quality and quantity, food security, fire risk. And I think the best way to think about how the soils might interact with drought and water availability is through the concept of soil health. I think a lot of people have heard about healthy soils the practices, some of which Tom just mentioned, that contribute to healthy soils. And why is that important? And it's important because healthy soils have more organic matter and hold more moisture and therefore are holding more available moisture during this phase when plants need it. They have better soil structure and they allow water to percolate through the soil, recharging the available water in the soil, but also recharging the groundwater, as I think Sarah alluded to earlier. And healthy soils, because they recharge water into the ground better, have less water running off. That's why we don't want another Hurricane Irene, because most of that just runs off. And when it runs off, it takes the very best soil, which is at the surface with it, making the soils less productive. soils, dry soils will heat up more, adding to the near surface heat and the evaporation. Having healthy soils and with more organic matter means about 50% of organic matter is carbon. And so the more organic matter we store in the soil, the less carbon is going to the atmosphere, and carbon dioxide and methane are major contributing greenhouse gases to the problem that we have and that continues and is accelerating. So there's a lot of intersections, I think, between soils and drought.
And when we have this, like what we're having, drought 2 years in a row, what kind of long-term impact on Maine soil health?
Well, the ability of soils and these ecosystems to produce plant material is a key component of being able to maintain healthy soils and organic matter. Management practices in both forests and agriculture and wetlands and all can minimize that impact as we go forward. And that's the kind of resilience I think Nick just mentioned relative to what we experienced in the early 2000s relative to agriculture. But we can expect more of this. Clearly, the changing climate is it didn't bring us drought. We've always had drought, but it's intensifying the hydrologic cycle. So we get more and intense versions of everything. And this year's a great, quote unquote, example where we had, what was it, a dozen weekends of rain in a wet year and then a flash drought that continued into what we're living with now. And that's kind of classic for what climate change brings us.
Well, Ivan, thank you so much for calling in and talking about these issues. Ivan Fernandez, a soil scientist with UMaine and a member of the Maine Climate Council. The entire time Ivan was talking about the climate and the patterns, Sarah, you were nodding. So what we saw this year, this strangely rainy spring, especially with the rain timing, it's rain for Saturdays and Sundays, and now a long drought is possibly the trend of the future? We're going to expect more of this?
Ivan, you articulated it perfectly. The climate swings are the challenge that we're facing with the water cycles here in Maine. And one of the things that's been weighing on my mind as we proceed with drought and we enter into the cold season, and this happened last year with our drought, once the ground freezes, if we have low groundwater and the ground freezes, that gets locked in, right? That whatever happens with the snow, it can't get into the ground. So that drought is basically frozen in until the ground thaws. So if you have a drought condition that carries over into the spring, and let's say we have another winter that is normal or subpar, then that just sets us up for another drought for next year. And here we go again. And this pattern repeats itself. So this swinging of the climate conditions is just all the more important as to why we need to go on to what Tom's been talking about with the resiliency in the state and taking advantage of these programs so that farmers in the agricultural sector are more resilient to these kind of swings, because it's just one, flooding into drought, into floods, into drought. It's just becoming more of the new normal.
Mm. Nick, we've talked about so many things from wildfire danger to agriculture, groundwater and lake levels. Are we missing anything? Are there other aspects of this drought that we need to consider?
Yeah, sure. First, to Sarah's point about, this becoming the new normal. If we look at U.S. Drought Monitor data, every year since 2010, Maine has had at least a abnormally dry condition, according to that U.S. Drought Monitor. Some years have been worse, certainly, but we have been in some sort of a drought condition for at least a limited amount of time for 15 years now. So that's important. But I think, my time as the co-chair of the Drought Task Force here in Maine, someone asked me, why do we care? Obviously, it's dry, right? The ground's dry. Why do we care and need all this information? Well, it goes way beyond, you know, just groundwater conditions in your well and a dry lawn. There's water for whitewater rafting, right? There's a lot of other recreational things that are important to Mainers that we may be limited due to the drought conditions, fishing, how green the golf course might be, access to a boat ramp on a lake might not be possible, a canoe trip or kayak trip that you might like taking. And then thinking into the winter, if these drought conditions into the wintertime, there's snowfall for snowmobiling, skiing, or even the water available to make snow in the wintertime. So these droughts have a really big recreational and financial potential impact on kind of the way we live life here in Maine.
Hmm. All right, then. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions for our experts, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can squeeze in an email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about the drought that the state is experiencing. With me today, Tom Gordon with the Soil and Water Conservation Program at the Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry. Nick Stasulis with the U.S. Geological Survey, New England Water Science Center, and Sarah Jamieson with NOAA and the National Weather Service. Lots of questions coming in. If you'd like to get yours in, our phone number 1-800-399-3566, email address talk@mainepublic.org. But before we go to listener questions, we're going to Gail Ross, who is the foliage reporter with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. And Gail, you know, this is what a lot of people really want to know. How pretty is it going to be this October? What is the timing of leaf season? And how has the drought affected it?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for inviting me to call in. Typically, the color progresses from north to south, with northern Maine reaching peak during the last week of September. Central and southern Maine reach peak around the long holiday weekend in October. Southern and coastal reach peak mid to late October. Now, because of the drought, the fall foliage season could possibly be shortened by up to a week. But I like to stress to folks that even though we have had a drought this summer, it is typically our weather going forward that sets us up for our brilliancy and our fall foliage season, the length and the duration of the colors.
So the water, how much rain we get in September and what the temperatures are in September?
Yes, because as we all know, once we go into the September-October season, our days become shorter and our nighttime temps become cooler, which is typically what sets us up for our fall foliage season.
Gail, I wish you could see Sarah's face as you're talking. Sarah's not making a happy face right now. Go ahead, Sarah. Tell us what you're thinking.
We have the cold nights in store, but I don't know about the rain, Gail. So is that a good thing?
I know, and I'm just as concerned, and I have no idea if we did have, I mean, we got beneficial rain over the weekend, but I'm guessing it probably wasn't enough. And probably the meteorologists don't think the same thing, too. But I will say that we have, a few years past, we had the same conditions, a very dry summer. And what it actually did was it shortened the season, but we still had the brilliant colors of fall that we love to see here in Maine.
Okay, so it may not be a record breaker, but it's still going to be pretty.
It's still going to be pretty.
All right, Gail, thank you so much for your time. Gail Ross is the foliage expert with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Okay, we're going to try to get to some of these questions from our audience. Ellen sent an email. If you haven't already, please address the impact of drought on wildlife. Deer on Vinyl Haven are eating plants they never eat, including milkweed. I know this is not any of your areas of expertise, but I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add to what Ellen has said.
Well, I think drought causes stress for all creatures. Everything needs water to survive. So you're seeing increased stress for both wildlife and plants. And what I was thinking earlier is that our plants are often competing with invasive species coming in, whether it's invasive plants or invasive insects. And if they're stressed, they are less able to compete successfully against those invasives. So you're going to find plant species affected by invasives, and wildlife species that rely on browsing on plants are going to have to select a wider variety of plants to munch on.
We'll go to Torbert calling from York. Hi, Torbert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jennifer and guest. I know a climate scientist, a climatologist at the University of New Hampshire Center for Earth, Oceans, and Space, and he tells me that we're going to become North Carolina, no question about it. But we will get more water, but not when we want it. So I, rather than treating this year as a one-off, I think we need a policy at the state level. We're not going to get any help from the feds for the foreseeable future, and begin to capture more of the runoff in the spring. Our great rivers are still pulsing mass quantities of water into the ocean. Anything we can do to siphon it off, create new reservoirs, and get that water into the ground, including replacing our asphalt and concrete with permeable sources to get the water into the ground.
Torbert, thanks for your call. And everybody on this show today is a member of the Maine Climate Drought Task Force. And so are these kinds of measures what you all are talking about? I think I'll go back to Tom.
Yeah, I think we are. The Maine Climate Council in particular has been emphasizing resilience after the coastal storms from 2 winters ago. There was a huge shift in emphasis from just greenhouse gas mitigation to really looking at how can we become more resilient. And the legislature has provided quite a bit of funding to try to improve our coastal resilience. And there's more work that's being done to deal with the flooding aspect of it. And I think more will need to be done on drought as well. I know the legislature has got a number of bond proposals in front of them that they carried over to this next session. And one of them is for an agricultural bond. And we would hope that drought resilience could be a component of that bond. So there's a lot more to be done. Definitely we need to be thinking about the various things that Torbett has suggested.
We'll go to Elizabeth calling from Portland. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for such an important discussion, and thank you for taking my call. I have a question for the panel. What is recommended for collecting and recycling water so that we can each do our bit on a personal level? In our family, on a joint property, we use rain barrels to try to save water. Do you have other suggestions?
Anything beyond rain barrels? We actually have somebody else asking about rain barrels as well, wondering if you all know of any towns or organizations that provide incentives for collecting water. Does anybody know of any?
Not aware of incentives, but you could check with your soil and water conservation district. There are 16 of them in Maine, generally one in each county. Aroostook is three. And some of those districts do offer water conservation materials for sale. Rain barrels are a great source. Get as many of those as you can. Use roof gutters to channel into those barrels. Learn about rain gardens. There are ways to set up gardens on your residential property that can help absorb some of the water and keep it on site. And also check with your local water district. I know Portland Water District has done a great deal on water conservation education, and they're a good source of advice as well. And Cooperative Extension.
All right. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. You mean Cooperative Extension is the answer to so many questions on Maine Calling. Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling in. We'll go to John, who's calling from Hampton. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Foundation.
Hi there. Good morning. My question is this. I've been following the...
Are you there, John? You need to turn down your radio.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so my question is this. I have a small farm, and I've been following the drought situation for a number of years. And I've been looking at the NOAA charts, and they're predicting warmer and wetter winters. And I'm just wondering how this jives with us having a drought if we're not going to get more water due to climate change versus less. And I know you have somebody there from NOAA. I'd like to direct it to them. Thank you.
Sarah.
So, yeah, sure. So your question regarding the warmer winters in regards to this drought?
Well, all droughts, all in particular, yes. I mean, over the past number of years, I've seen the charts that say we're going to have warmer and wetter winters and less snow. And that, to me, means more water in the system versus less.
Yes. Yes. Yep, those two, yes, that is how it's looking for the state of Maine, which is very disruptive for our water cycle because the state of Maine has always been reliant on that snowpack over the winter season. And so what that has essentially mean is that we've had a less stable snowpack, one that essentially melts out, you know, 2 to 4 weeks earlier than we used to see it last, which means we go into the growing season 2 to 4 weeks earlier, which means we have a longer warm season, which opens us up to drought later in the summer season, which is what we saw this season when we ended up having this flash drought.
And, yeah. And so what you're saying, I think Tom's, John, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is asking, you know, if you look at the year as a whole, we may not be having any less water, if anything, more water than we did in the past. And what you're saying, Sarah, it's like a timing issue. If all that rain comes in the winter when the ground is frozen, it runs off. It's not sort of packed in snow waiting to be melt slowly in the spring.
Exactly, yes. And when we do have our precipitation events, they tend to be more significant. We're having more heavy precipitation events instead of the more drawn out lighter precipitation events, more of like what we see in the fall, where it's that lighter all day, kind of like what we saw over the weekend, like yesterday. Those events are less frequent, and we're getting more of the torrential rain events. So
and
that
Nick,
is
I see you nodding. Frequent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah got to it a little bit, but in the wintertime, you know, we still are getting cold temperatures. If the ground is frozen and we're getting those warm weather events in the winter, we're not getting groundwater recharge. We're not getting the benefit of a lot of that water in the winter months where we would like it to be gradually melting in the spring. It's hitting frozen ground and running off and causing other flooding and ice jam problems. So the timing is key for when we're getting that precipitation for sure. Yes.
All right, John, thanks for your question. I'm going to try to get to two more. So many good questions coming in from Andrea, an email. Please ask your guests about the symptoms of a soon-to-be dry well. Before yesterday's rain, I would turn on my faucet and air would come out before any water. Is that a symptom? Our well is quite deep, but this summer we had so little rain. I live in Jonesboro. What aquifer is known to be here? So I'm just going to give you a few seconds, Tom, but if somebody has turned on her tap and gets water before air before water, is that an indication?
Yeah, that tends to be an indication of a low well. It depends on whether it's dug or drilled well. And in Jonesboro, soils tend to be very sandy and droughty, so it's quite easy to lose water levels in that case.
All right. And who should she turn to, Andrea, if this is happening?
The Maine drinking water program has a private well coordinator who can provide advice on well management. Sometimes it may mean digging a deeper well. Sometimes just a repair on a pump is what's needed. But definitely the CDC drinking water program is the place to check for that.
And great information. And Nick, this last one, Steve on Facebook says last year's fall drought led to low stream and river flows, which drastically led to a major cutback in snowmaking at another number of ski areas in the region at the start of the ski season. Looks like that may hold true this year, too. That's what you were talking about, Nick, that there are things that we maybe aren't thinking about on our first tranche of thinking about this drought, but how it can have deeper effects.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think last year we did get a little bit of rain in the fall, and we can hope for the same thing this year, you know, a nice sustained spread out weather, wet weather pattern in the fall to help recover from this drought and set us up for good skiing this winter.
Well, I want to thank all of you. So much information this hour. Nick Stasulis, the Monitoring Operations Chief for the New England Water Science Center with the U.S. Geological Survey. Sarah Jamieson, a federal hydrologist with NOAA at the National Weather Service in Gray. And Tom Gordon, Program Coordinator for Soil and Water Conservation with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow, we check in with our horticulture experts to get advice about winding down your garden. They will also talk about drought, I'm sure. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.